In recent months, we've been keeping abreast of developments in Sudan. The attacks of Arab militia on black farming communities have created a human tide of refugees there. Tens of thousands of people have been killed. 1.4 million have been made homeless, scattered across the Darfur region in western Sudan and into neighboring Chad. The United Nations calls conditions there the worst humanitarian crisis in the world today. Sudanese leaders are widely believed to be coordinating the attacks in collaboration with Arab militias called the Janjaweed. The UN has threatened unspecified penalties against Sudan if it doesn't move to disarm the Janjaweed by Monday. Dominic McSorley is the Emergency Director for Concern Worldwide in Darfur. He joins us from the El Geneina refugee camp. Thanks very much for being with us, Mr. McSorley.
Hi there.
UN representatives were dispatched to monitor the situation this week in advance of that Monday deadline. I'm wondering, Mr. McSorley, have the attacks stopped? Can you say that?
What's clear is while there have not been the large systematic attacks in the last couple of weeks, there continues to be a pervasive fear among the displaced. They simply will not go home. And the very visible presence of Janjaweed, armed militia, that are strolling around confidently outside the camps, and there are continued attacks and sexual attacks on women when they leave. And this is simply reinforcing a message. It's not safe for you to go home. You will be robbed, you will be raped, or you will be killed. And this is demonstrated by the fact that now women are being forced to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning to go out of the camp in the middle of the night to try and collect enough firewood that they can sell. And they will only do this now when they think that the Janjaweed is asleep.
We're told that there are very few adolescent girls and few young men in the camps.
Well, there are adolescent girls, but they're not going to be that visible. And what they do is we send out the ugly women, i.e. we send out old women, who are less likely to get raped. That's the kind of situation that really should not be existing. Nobody should have to live under that kind of threat. And men are much less visible outside the camp areas. Men simply will not go outside the camp. It is the women that are being forced out because they may get raped, but they won't get killed. And that is actually a brutal choice for anybody to make.
Mr. McSorley, the Sudanese government said that they can't be held responsible for the Janjaweed. I'm wondering what you think about the representation of the Sudanese government that there is no coordination with the Janjaweed.
The Sudanese have really said that in terms of the Janjaweed, that they do have influence over some of the groups. They have little influence over others, and they have no influence over some others. I mean, the Janjaweed is not a clearly managed or structured organization. And the term Janjaweed now has been applied rather loosely and rather broadly to anybody that does carry a gun. But I do believe that with a concerted police effort, presence around the camps, and with the deployment of AU troops, that protection could be improved, even if disarmament isn't achieved immediately.
Mm-hmm. AU troops are African Union troops, and I believe they're from Rwanda.
The African Union troops, yes. From Rwanda and from Nigeria and from different neighbouring countries. Yeah. The truth is there is very little confidence, and what we're talking about is a complete breakdown of confidence between displaced and local authorities.
If the Sudanese government does not meet that United Nations deadline on Monday, as we mentioned, the sanctions Sudan would face are as yet unspecified. If they asked for your advice, Mr. McSorley, what would you recommend? What would be an effective penalty?
My belief is that they may need more time because this is not, okay, this is a monster that to a certain extent they created, but the fear that I have is that if we reach a political stalemate, it is very, very highly possible that they will withdraw the facilities that aid agencies have here. And when you have the lives of 1.2 million people dependent, totally dependent on the international aid effort, then that has to be factored in.
But I wonder, isn't it an old tactic of brutal central governments to just minimally comply and thereby keep the international community at bay?
Sure, I agree. I mean, we certainly don't want to fall into the trap where the displaced are being used or held to ransom. But what my fear is, and remember we're coming up to election in the US, is that how long is Darfur going to stay on the agenda? The truth is, for the war, the 20-year war between the North and the South, the Americans have played a very, very critical role in brokering a peace agreement. That took years. We cannot and we may not be able to resolve, fix the Darfur problem in the next 4 days. We have to make a sustained commitment. And I'm not sure that the international community has a great track record in maintaining pressure in these cases. My belief is it has to be sustained.
Dominic McSorley is Emergency Director for Concern Worldwide, speaking from Darfur. Thank you very much.
Thank you.